ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఎవ్రీవన్ ఫౌండ్ శ్రీ భగవాను వాచ ఊర్ధ్వం మూలం అదా శఖం అశ్వథం ప్రాహు అవ్యయం ఛందంసి యస్య ప్రాణాని సారీ పర్ణాని యః తం వేద సహ వేదవిత్. శ్రీ భగవాన్ ఉవాచ ఊర్ధ్వమూలం అదశఖం అశ్వథం ప్రాహురవ్యయం ఛందంసి యస్య పర్ణని యస్తం వేద స వేదవిత్. శ్రీ భగవాను వాచ ఊర్ధ్వమూలం అదశఖం అశ్వథం ప్రాహురవ్యయం ఛందంసి యస్య పర్ణని యస్తం వేద స వేదవిత్. Somebody else. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Urdhva Mulam Adashakam Ashwatham Chandansi Yasya Parnani Yastam Veda Savedave శ్రీ భగవాను వాచ ఊర్ధ్వమూలం అదశఖం అశ్వథం ప్రాహురవ్యయం ఛందంసి యస్య పర్ణని యస్తం వేద స వేదవేత్. శ్రీ భగవాను వాచ ఊర్ధ్వమూలం అదశఖం అశ్వథం ప్రాహురవ్యయం ఛందంసి యస్య పర్ణాని యస్తం వేద స వేదవేత్. మాతాజీ, యూ వాంట్ టు రిసైట్? So I will read now the purport and translation of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada of Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 15, the Yoga of the Supreme Person. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, it is said that there is an imperishable banyan tree that has its roots upward and its branches down and whose leaves are the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. Purport. After the discussion of the importance of Bhakti Yoga, one may question, what about the Vedas? It is explained in this chapter that the purpose of Vedic study is to understand Krishna. Therefore, one who is in Krishna consciousness, who is engaged in devotional service, already knows the Vedas. The entanglement of this material world is compared here to a banyan tree. For one who is engaged in fruitive activities, there is no end to the banyan tree. He wanders from one branch to another, to another, to another. The tree of this material world has no end. And for one who is attached to this tree, there is no possibility of liberation. The Vedic hymns meant for elevating oneself are called the leaves of this tree. This tree's roots grow upward because they begin from where Brahma is located, the topmost planet of this universe. If one can understand this indestructible tree of illusion, then one can get out of it. This process of extrication should be understood. What's extrication? Somebody knows? Get out. Yeah, like in a laboratory, extract some aroma from a flower, maybe. So in the previous chapter, it has been explained that there are many processes by which to get out of the material entanglement. And up to the 13th chapter, we have seen that devotional service to the Supreme Lord is the best way. Now the basic principle of devotional service is detachment from material activities and attachment to the transcendental service of the Lord. The process of breaking attachment to the material world is discussed in the beginning of this chapter. The root of this material existence grows upward. This means that it begins from the total material substance, from the topmost planet of the universe. From there, the whole universe is expanded with so many branches representing the various planetary systems. The fruits represents the result of the living entity's activities, namely religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. Now there is no ready experience in this world of a tree situated with its branches down and its roots upward, but there is such a thing. That tree can be found beside a reservoir of water. We can see that the trees on the bank reflect upon the water with their branches down and roots up. In other words, the tree of this material world is only a reflection of the real tree of the spiritual world. This reflection of the spiritual world is situated on desire, just as the tree's reflection is situated on water. Desire is the cause of things being situated in this reflected material light. One who wants to get out of this material existence must know this tree thoroughly through analytical study. Then he can cut off his relationship with it. This tree, being the reflection of the real tree, is an exact replica. Everything is there in the spiritual world. The impersonalists take Brahman to be the root of this material tree. And from the root, according to Sankhya philosophy, come Prakriti, Purusha, then the three gunas, then the five gross elements, Pancha Mahabhuta, then the ten senses, Dashendriya, mind, etc. In this way, they divide up the whole material world into 24 elements. If Brahman is the center of all manifestations, then this material world is a manifestation of the center by 180 degrees, and the other 180 degrees constitute the spiritual world. The material world is the perverted reflection, so the spiritual world must have the same variegatedness, but in reality. The Prakriti is the external energy of the Supreme Lord, and the Purusha is the Supreme Lord himself, and that is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Since this manifestation is material, it is temporary. A reflection is temporary, for it is sometimes seen and sometimes not seen. But the origin from whence the reflection is reflected is eternal. The material reflection of the real tree has to be cut off. When it is said that a person knows the Vedas, it is assumed that he knows how to cut off attachment to this material world. If one knows that process, he actually knows the Vedas. One who is attracted by the ritualistic formulas of the Vedas is attracted by the beautiful green leaves of the tree. He does not exactly know the purpose of the Vedas. The purpose of the Vedas, as disclosed by the Personality of Godhead himself, is to cut down this reflected tree and attain the real tree of the spiritual world. So So I'll read the verse again. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Urdvamulam Adashakam Ashvatam Prahuravyayam Shandangsi Yasya Parnani Yastam Vedasa Vedavit. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, it is said that there is an imperishable banyan tree that has its roots upward and its branches down, and whose leaves are the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. So we can recite together from, for those who doesn't know these verses, it's page number 1. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Katamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunantam Vitam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Krishna Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Yagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So this chapter, Krishna is speaking about, I mean, it's this analogy about a tree which is growing with a, which has its roots up and then branches down. It's like everything upside down. And it is the, as Prabhupada said here in the purport, that it's, it has its roots in the highest planet. As far as I remember, yeah, this Brahma, Brahma's planet, and from there everything else grew. So that's the highest planet in the universe. And from there Lord Brahma created everything else. And going down, but we can also go deeper to see from where it really comes. Actually it comes from the spiritual world, this creation. Comes from the spiritual world. Krishna says he's the seed-giving father. So it comes from him, ultimately. And he's the Purusha. And everything else are his energies. So this material world is his energy. And from him, from the spiritual energy, this tree has come, has been created. It's very nicely described in Lord Chaitanya's teachings, how Krishna has expanded from Krishna to Balaram, to the first Sankarshan, and from that, I think it was Narayan, and like that, and then going to the second Sankarshan, and from him the Purusha avatars, and from Mahavishnu came all the universes when he's breathing out, and then he enters the each universe, and it's quite interesting how Mahavishnu is kind of lying inside of Garbhodakashaya Vishnu. He's lying in the water, in the universe. Please come in. Come in. Welcome. You speak English? Yes. So we are giving a Bhagavad Gita lecture now, so you can please sit down. Maybe somebody can give you a book or a seat or something. So, It's chapter 15, verse number 1. So it's quite interesting to see how Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is lying in the water, which comes from his own body. It's like his transcendental sweat. And there he's in the Yoga Nidra sleep, lying there. And from his from the lake of his navel, there is a lotus flower growing up in the universe. And there Brahma takes birth, the first created being. And it's quite interesting to see also how the baby in the womb, how do you call that word when they are unborn, the babies? I don't remember. The fetus. Yeah. It's quite interesting to see how similar that is for a human being who is lying inside of the womb of the mother, and it looks like a stem growing from the navel, yeah? And it ends in, I don't know the name in English, but it looks like a tree actually, or one could say it's like a lotus flower, where this navel ends. So we have come to this world to imitate the Lord, and inside of the womb we are also kind of half asleep, half awake, yeah. So in that way, we're imitating the Lord, because as Krishna says in this chapter, this tree, this banyan tree, which is described in chapter 15, is like it's like a reflection of the reality. So we are imitating Krishna's pastimes in so many ways. We're imitating his form and like that. So we are we want to become God, so we take birth like Garbhodakshaya Vishnu in that way also, with this lotus flower and the tree and the navel and like that. So, and it's also described that the true world, which is this eternal spiritual world, it is now I lost the point. I mean, that's the real thing. So it's like, that's the real tree standing like this, and then the other one is like this, and it's reflected on desire, yeah, instead of water. The false tree is reflected on desire. So that which is highest in the spiritual world is the lowest in the material world. So there are five rasas which we can have with God, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it starts with Shantaras, which is kind of neutral relationship with him. Like the animals in the spiritual world, they have like a neutral relationship with Krishna. And then comes, so that's Shantaras, and Dasyaras, yeah. Then we start to serve, render some service. And then there is Sakya Ras, a relationship like becoming a friend, like an equal with God. And then the parent, Vatsalya Ras. And then, I mean, God doesn't have any parents, but just to have some transcendental exchange of love with his devotees who wish to see him as a son, who wish to protect him as a son, then he accepts their love in that relationship. And then there is the Madhurya Ras, which is the kind of marriage relationship with God. So one can marry God. We can see also that in Christian traditions, that those who live in celibacy, they kind of make some rituals sometimes and they marry God. So in that way, it's in different traditions in the world. Or I can become just the lover. It's like informal marriage with God also. So in the material world, we have all these relationships also, but they are unfortunately based on the body, on the material body, which is a temporary identification. So we try to imitate Krishna's pastimes like that and try to be happy in different kinds of relationships, with friends, with people with which we are neutral. It's like, you know, maybe neighbors or whoever. Or then we have the parents, we have sons and daughters, and then some marriage life is there, like that. So we try to have these relationships also. But if Krishna is not in the center of the relationship, then it will not be based on love. It will not be a spiritual relationship. And a material relationship is very superficial, and there is no happiness in such a relationship. And there is also no love, because it's based on lust, like what's in for me. If you do this for me, I do that for you. It's like kind of a business relationship. And it's a very sad story, actually, because it's completely unfulfilling. So that's why people are all the time changing partners, changing friends, and this and that, trying to look for, you know, the true happiness in a loving relationship, but they end up very unsatisfied. Because if Krishna is not in the center, then it will not be a spiritual relationship. And if Krishna is in the center, then that's the most fulfilling relationship you can ever have. And if there is this exchange of love between these two persons or more persons, it's like completely fulfilling. And Krishna will also be very satisfied when he sees that exchange of service. And we have this Nectar of Instruction book by Rupa Goswami, where he described the six exchanges of love between devotees. And Prabhupada said that actually ISKCON is created just to facilitate these six exchanges of love. You remember the six exchanges? I can say. Yes. Yeah, give gifts to each other. Yeah. Yeah, revealing the mind in confidence. We should know them by heart. I don't know the Sanskrit, I have bad memory. So giving prasadam and receiving prasadam, that's the other two. Give gifts, yeah. And give and receive gifts. Yeah. And revealing the mind and confidence. So, giving to give gifts is quite easy, but, you know, to accept back, that's more difficult. Isn't it? We feel like embarrassed if we get a gift. Or if somebody is serving us, we feel also embarrassed. But if we don't accept it, then it means, then we are kind of giving the signal that actually I don't want to have a relationship with you. So it's kind of very impolite to not accept the service. So we should learn to accept it. And many times, if somebody is trying to serve us, I remember I asked one very nice Mataji once, "No, can I help you?" Because she was giving a seminar. And then she said, "No, thank you, I can manage myself." And then I was kind of sad because I wanted to have an exchange of love with her. And I was thinking, actually, she should have said yes, because I was asking, can I help you in your service to your Guru Maharaj? And if she's saying, no, thank you, I can manage myself, then it's not quite the correct understanding. So we should actually reciprocate like that. If somebody wants to serve us, then we should see, okay, I mean, I engage that person in my Guru's service, and there's nothing wrong. And I also accept this loving exchange from this person. And it becomes really nice, these spiritual relationships. They should be based on service, because if there is no exchange of service, then there will just be exchange of lust. Like, then what will the relationship be based on? Like, sense gratification. We have some funny conversations and we joke with each other. You know, it's like very superficial relationships like that. So the relationships are very important in spiritual life between devotees. I was also reading in Bhagavatam that we cannot advance. I mean, we can do so many austerities and charity and this and that. There are many things in the Vedas mentioned. But we can never advance if we don't serve the devotees, especially the pure devotees. So we don't know who is a pure devotee and who is not until we are pure devotees ourselves. So we better serve everyone. Then we are on the safe side. So, yeah. So let's see here the purport. Prabhupada is saying, after the discussion of the importance of bhakti yoga, one may question, what about the Vedas? It is explained in this chapter that the purpose of Vedic study is to understand Krishna. So that's the verse 15:15. Krishna says that the purpose of the Vedas is to know him. Sarvasya shaham hridi sanivisto Matasmritir gyanam apohanangcha vidaischa sarvairaham eva vedyo vidanta krid veda vid eva chaham. Translation: I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. So we see also in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam comes like, it's a study after the Bhagavad Gita. So in the first canto there is a very nice story about the author of the Vedas, Vedavyas. He was like self-realized, he was Atmarama, I mean satisfied in himself and so on. And he made a huge job by compiling the Vedas, writing them down before Kali Yuga started, because he knew that people in the future would not have a good memory. So he wrote everything down. And he should be, I mean, very proud of himself and very satisfied. But he didn't feel satisfied. So his spiritual master Narada Muni came to him, because he knew, I have to go now to my disciple, he needs me. So Narada Muni went there and he told him, well, you're not satisfied because, I mean, you wrote so many things, but the essence is, you know, Krishna. You have not emphasized Krishna and devotional service enough. So after that he wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is kind of the essence, or the mature fruit, it's said in the Bhagavatam. It's the mature fruit of the Vedas. It's kind of the natural commentary of the Vedanta Sutra. And there we have Krishna's pastimes, and we have Krishna's pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan, which is the highest understanding. But before coming there are many preparational works. It's said the first and second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is representing the two lotus feet of the Lord. And by reading that, one overcome lust, and like that, one gradually purifies the heart until one comes to the smiling face of the Lord, which is the 10th canto. So it's kind of a very scientific way how to purify the heart and how to come closer to Krishna and develop a relationship with Him. And that's kind of the essence, yeah, with Bhakti Yoga, to develop a relationship with the Lord. I mean, a true relationship based on love and service. And that will be the most fulfilling. And and then we can go on reading. The entanglement of this material world is compared here to a banyan tree. For one who is engaged in fruitive activities, there is no end to the banyan tree. He wanders from one branch to another, to another, to another. So this is a person in the mode of passion who is kind of lost in his own material desires, trying to find happiness, desperately trying to find happiness. And we can read about these people in these pop star magazines and so on, how completely miserable they are. When I was working, I was cleaning the people's houses, and there were always these kind of magazines. And I'm a curious person, so I was looking through them and seeing what's happening in this person's, you know, life, like a social study more for me. And the energy coming out from the pages was like, my God, I'm taking a look into hell, because it was so gross and so desperately trying to search for happiness. These people have so much money and fame, and they should be happy, but they are completely miserable. So I used to pray for them also, because I felt so much compassion for them. So it's terrible, yeah? So one can, and this is the samsara, it's kind of, you're repeating birth and death, trying to look for this happiness, trying to look. And also as devotees, we shouldn't think that, oh, I'm free from that. No. I mean, at least I'm not free from that. But it comes, Maya, this illusion comes in more subtle forms. So then we should be like more intelligent to detect how Maya is coming to us in this subtle form, this fruitive mentality, that what's in for me? Why am I chanting my rounds? Yeah, because maybe I want some ecstasy, yeah? So that's some kind of fruitive mentality there. So we should chant our rounds to give pleasure to Krishna, that's all. But that's not so easy. And then Prabhupada says the tree of this material world has no end. And for one who is attached to this tree, there is no possibility of liberation. The Vedic hymns meant for elevating oneself are called the leaves of this tree. These tree roots, the tree's roots grow upward because they begin from where Brahma is located, the topmost planet of this universe. If one can understand this indestructible tree of illusion, then one can get out of it. Yeah, I mean, Bhagavad Gita is quite nicely explaining this tree of illusion. We were just reading the 14th chapter, which was dealing with the three modes of material nature. The 13th chapter was also dealing very much about the... Hare Krishna, thank you for coming. 13th chapter was speaking very much about analyzing the whole material, all the elements and like that. What is the body, the kshetragya, yeah? The kshetragya, and so on. So Bhagavad Gita is helping us to understand this tree. And Krishna is also giving us the tools how to cut it off. I think I should stop now. I don't know if you have any comments or questions, because soon there will be kirtan, bhajan. You want to share something?
Yes. Yeah, it does.
It does, yeah. In the same time, the devotees are very humble, you know. But, I mean, this is my realization that actually if I'm doing service to my Guru Maharaj, which I should always be doing, I should always be engaged in his service, and somebody wants to help me, then I should... I'm always happy to accept. Yes, please help me. Because it's not for me, it's for my Guru Maharaj. So how can I refuse? So this is my understanding. I don't know what you other devotees here... Maybe I have a wrong understanding, but... I can't see it in another way, yeah? Exactly. That's the beauty of it, because then you feel like indebted. I mean, not that, oh, I have to pay off a karma or a debt, you know, he gave me 10 euros, I have to give back 10 euros. Not in that way, but like the heart melts and then a loving relationship starts, which is based on love and not on lust anymore. So I think that's quite important. I don't know what you others, you want to say something about this? Is it wrong to accept service? I mean, for oneself, yes. But if you have this attitude that it's not for me, it's for my Guru Maharaj, then I think it's right. Okay. So thank you so much. And Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna.